Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP conference call to present and discuss the OPAP S.A. first quarter 2019 interim management statements conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP S.A. Mr. Cope, please proceed.
Thank you very much, operator, and good morning or good afternoon to everyone. I'm delighted to welcome you to OPAP's Q1 2019 investor conference call. As always, our Deputy CEO and CFO, Michael Hoost, will start by commenting on the financial picture for the quarter, and I will then provide you with an update of our business progress and plans for 2019. We'll then answer any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Damien, and good afternoon to everybody. Macro-wise, real GDP growth for the first quarter stood at 0.9%, with the year starting with mixed evidence from most of the indicators. Tourism has once more been performing strongly, although obviously Q1 is the seasonally weakest part of the year. When it comes to the leading indicators like economic sentiment, that was rather uninspiring, while consumer confidence trended slightly upwards. Finally, on the retail sales front, headline figures indicated a material decline in both January and February before improving a bit in March. On our part, we have noted before that the anticipated growth on both GDP and private consumption depends heavily on a number of uncertainties. Some of those, such as the domestic elections, will most probably be sorted out in the near future, while some other, such a potential slowdown in EU and trade war worries, have probably already taken a toll to the business sentiment. In this kind of environment, OPAP's Q1 2019 figures clearly depict that our company has been a real outperformer. Furthermore, having built on the solid pillars and upon successful execution of our strategy, we believe that our exceptional performance could continue for the remainder of the year as well. In more detail, Q1 2019 GGR headed higher for yet another quarter, up by 5%, reaching 396 million, at the same time setting a new multi-year high when it comes exclusively to the first quarter's performance. More importantly, growth came on the top of an already high base, as OPAP has been able to consistently increase its GGR since 2015. Moving to NGR, growth stepped up to 5.4%, reaching 266.8 million, while gross profit from gaming operations rose by a similar 5.5%. In our view, consistent growth across our profitability lines proves that our expansion was well planned and that our new business brought in material uplift to our overall profitability figures. EBITDA-wise, reported figures mark a 28% increase, reaching 111.6 million for a quarter, also due to 10.7 million of one-offs mostly related to reveal of legal provisions pertaining to a final judgment on former OPAP agent's claim. More importantly, recurring EBITDA increased by 15.7%, demonstrating that set aside revenue growth, we once more managed to handle efficiently our cost base. Starting with IT, the relevant expenses figure declined by 41% during the course of the quarter as a result of the conclusion of net debt, of the conclusion of the technology transformation project. Note that set aside the obvious cost benefits, OPAP is now considerably more flexible and independent when it comes to technology with tangible evidence in the face of various initiatives. We expect that savings will continue for yet another quarter, while the full year effect should be north of 15%. On the flip side, marketing expense increased mildly to 14.8 million, while personal costs rose to 19.8 million, or 3.6% on a Q-on-Q basis. Both of those have been moving in line with our plans and come as a result of our expansion in the different fields. We would expect those to stabilize within the course of the coming quarters. Below the EBITDA line, net profit growth accelerated further, reaching 43.5%, despite higher D&A of 27.3 million. On an adjusted for the one-off item basis, net profit reached 49.8 million, up by 25% year-on-year. Turning to our investments, cash outflow from investing activities stood at low 3 million for the quarter. Although this number should grow till the end of the year, reaching around 30 million, We once more point out that our investment program is close to conclusion, and then our normalized CapEx from 2020 onwards is seen lower than 20 million on annual basis. As stated before, all of the aforementioned figures do not include the second part of the Stoiximan deal, which is subject to clearance by the competition authorities. Strong profitability growth together with limited CapEx led our cash balance to increase to 240 million from 191 million at the end of the year, which together with gross debt of 651 million led to the net debt position of 410.5 million and a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 1.1 times. Dividend-wise, we will distribute an additional 60 cents per share on top of the already distributed 10 cents in October, also introducing the ability of a fully optional scrip dividend, thus allowing for shareholders to increase their holding without additional costs or commissions. We genuinely believe that this new option is enriching our shareholders' options, and we feel that our proposal was vindicated by the vast 99% approval rate in our recent AGM. The election period will last between 28th of June up to until 11th of July, while further details will be published in the following days on our webpage. When it comes to future returns to shareholders, we remain firm to our commitment calling for the distribution of the bulk of the free cash flow back to our shareholders. With regards to our segment's performance, following the substantial turnaround of the fourth quarter, our lottery business stayed on positive ground, up by 1.6%. Taking into account that our VLT machines number was roughly double versus Q1 last year, we believe that this kind of performance is a substantial achievement and comes as a result of both the restructuring of our network and outperforming new shops, as well as the contribution of Kino side bets, which has aided materially our overall Kino numbers. We feel that this stable to slightly increasing trend will mostly probably persist in the near future as well. As for sports betting, we are satisfied with our quarterly performance despite the 5% drop in our revenue figures. The drop came exclusively as a result of natural attrition of virtual games, which despite their decline still contribute materially and profitably to our group figures. Pamer Stoiximan, on the other hand, reversed to its negative trends, and we are happy to say that this trend is persisting in the second quarter of the year as well. The reversal of last year's declining trend came as a result of the increased contribution of SSBTs and material growth in live betting. Both of those indicate that our offering is now much more aligned with our players' appetite as well as with international trends. Note that although not yet reported on our revenue line, Stoiximan business, where we currently hold almost 37%, performed extremely well as well, demonstrating solid revenue growth in the Greek and Cypriot business with the growth of more than 30%. Hellenic Lotteries-wise, Q1 trend downwards with revenues being 10.8% lower year-on-year as a result of a moderate drop in scratch and a higher decline in passives. We believe that the aforementioned decline rate is not indicative for the future, having taken a set of actions to offer a new set of ticket series to our customers. Q2 has so far been considerably better, and as such, we don't think that full-year performance would deviate much from last year's numbers. VLT-wise, our revenues for the quarter set a new record of 69 million. Our KPI calling for the performance of the machines that were operational for the full course of the quarter stood at 41 euros versus 47 in Q4, which is of course always seasonally stronger. Gaming halls continued their outperformance versus op-up shops, standing now at average level that brings in sustainable returns for the franchisees. With that, I'm handing over to Damien.
Thank you, Michal. As you've already heard, we continue the positive momentum we saw at the end of 2018 and have enjoyed a good start to 2019. I'd just like to take you through some of the most important elements of our quarterly update. Starting first on slide 15 of the presentation deck with our retail network. And we've continued on from our busy 2018 program of new shop openings with a further 147 shops opened in Q1, reaching a total of more than 650 new shops since January 2018. As last year, the size and quality of these new shops are materially better than the estate average, with an average area now of 128 square metres compared to the estate average of 79 square metres. Larger spaces combined with improved location, more screens or video walls, together with the efforts of our agents, are bringing a comparable improvement in performance of these new shops of over 20% and in some cases much higher. In addition, we continue to implement our Retail Excellence 2020 program, which aims to optimize the network, evolve our customer proposition and experience, leverage digital technologies, and further develop and train our agents. Overall in Q1, our efforts led to an increase in the average revenue per shop approaching 10%, while average commission per agent also increased by around 4.4% year on year. Turning now to our Play Games VLT business on slide 16, where we recorded another strong quarter in Q1. After the seasonally strong Q4, we saw overall Q1 GGR broadly in line with this period, and we see similar trends in Q2 so far. As you can see on slide 17, we continue to record a steady increase in registrations, and more importantly, our average monthly active customers were above 100,000, the highest quarter so far. Customer spend remains consistent at around 30 euros per visit. In terms of machine distribution, we finished Q1 with 364 gaming halls operational and machines in an additional 1,955 shops. In April, we also successfully completed the full estate introduction of the VLT's jackpot feature, a few details of which have been shared on slide 18. The jackpot allows any player on any game on any machine to have the chance to win various jackpot prizes up to a maximum of 100,000 euros from a single spin. The new jackpot has been warmly welcomed by our agents, partners, and customers, with well over 5,000 prizes won so far, totaling over 3 million euros, including six winners of over 50,000 euros from the gold prize. We believe that this VLT's jackpot is another means by which our Play Games VLT business clearly differentiates us from the remaining illegal gaming competition. In terms of the ongoing rollout, as of today, we have 20,091 of the VLTs installed, which leaves just over 4,900 of the full rollout remaining. This is clearly a small increase from the time of our last call, and this is primarily as we've been impacted by a recent legal decision, which I will summarize briefly. On the 2nd of April, the Council of State issued a ruling that annulled the Hellenic Gaming Commission's decision of October 2016, which set out the VLT's regulation. This court ruling is purely procedural, deeming that this regulation should have been originally issued through a presidential decree. The court did not make any judicial assessment of the substantive grounds invoked by the applicants or of the VLT's regulation itself. OPUP continues to operate the existing VLT network normally. Only the rollout of any additional VLT machines is currently on hold. For the avoidance of doubt, this decision does not affect the legislative framework, an exclusive concession agreement under which OPUP has the exclusive right to operate VLTs until 2035. As you know, OPUP has to install the remaining VLTs by the end of 2019 based on the applicable legislative framework and our contractual obligations. At the moment, we are continuing all of the necessary activities related to the planning of our rollout, such as the selection of the appropriate locations to host play stores and negotiating with candidate gaming hall agents and operators. It's also worth remembering that the existing Play Games VLT business has created more than 3,000 jobs, attracted over 60 million euros of investment from investors and entrepreneurs, and already generates annually well over 100 million euros in tax revenues for the Hellenic Republic. So it is clearly in everyone's interest that this situation be successfully resolved. Turning now to our betting segment, and I remember well that there were some questions on our last call around our performance, specifically sports betting. On slide 19, I wanted to highlight some of the performance improvements that we've seen in Q1, despite some unfavorable sporting results that have impacted some other operators in the industry. I'm pleased to say that after a period of decline, we've managed to address the negative trend. This is in part down to the better quality of the new shops we've opened, but also as we've improved our offering to make it more modern and relevant to our players. SSBTs have also been a positive factor. Having taken the decision to strategically invest in the SSBTs back in 2017, our thinking was to offer a personalized experience that would also be more attractive to younger generations and more suitable for live betting. Considering that almost 30% of our live wagers took place through SSBTs in Q1, we feel that we're making good progress in this direction. Overall, SSBTs now account for about 15% of our total sports betting turnover, and the experience from our operations in Cyprus indicates that their potential could be materially higher. Within the rest of the betting category, we saw a decline in both virtuals and horse racing. The latter was primarily due to the suspension of Greek racing from December until May. However, thanks to the new legal framework approved in late April, Greek racing has restarted, and in conjunction with the entire racing industry, we've recently kicked off a relaunch plan to re-energize our horse racing business, both across our shop network and at our Markopolo Park venue. Online remains a strategically important area of focus, and on slide 20, we provide updates on both elements of our dual strategy. OPAP's own online sports betting is growing steadily, now representing approximately 9% of total sports betting turnover and closer to 2% of our total sports betting GGR. At the end of Q1, we also launched the first ever lottery product online in Greece, Joker. Offline, we estimate we have between 3 and 4 million players per year, and we believe that the ability to play online or via our new app will appeal to both regular and less frequent customers. After just a couple of months trading, we already see that our online turnover is around 2% of the total volume. Given the game's appeal, as well as the fact that convenience should drive frequency and penetration, we believe that turnover should further grow in line with international benchmarks. We also take particular satisfaction that a significant part of the relevant software development took place from within OPAP's own in-house technology team. To date, across all OPAP's online activities, we've so far registered over 75,000 customers in 2019, with an encouraging number of customers already using both sports betting and Joker products. Within this total, we've recruited a number of customers via agents within our retail network, and it is worth reminding you that each of these agents receives the same commission for the relevant revenues generated by each customer as if they were playing in the agent's shop. In relation to our investment in Stoiximan, you'll already be aware that our participation in Stoiximan Group stands at 36.75%. At the same time, we're hopeful that the second part of the transaction, which is expected to increase our share of the Greek and Cypriot operations to 69%, will be granted the necessary approvals in the near future. In the meantime, we're pleased to report a positive quarter for Stoiximan 2, with Q1 GGR less bonuses exceeding 50 million and overall growth of 36%. We continue to see good growth in Q2 across all of the operating countries, and earlier in Q2, licensed operations also started in Portugal. On new ventures, and turning to slide 21, our targeted effort to start offering non-gaming services through our Tora subsidiaries is on track. Our network of certified agents that offer Tora services now stands at almost 2,600 shops, while the appeal of our bill payment offer is steadily growing, with the best agencies doing several hundreds of transactions per month. Recently, we also launched our remittances service, which allows for domestic cash transfers in a seamless and convenient way through the OPAP retail network, the largest in Greece. Note that on top of the direct benefit from Tora transactions, certain products, such as scratch tickets, are already seeing an encouraging like-for-like uplift in their figures. Going forward, the number of certified agents should further increase, whereas we'll also launch in the second half of the year our Tora mobile app that allow for a number of different services that will facilitate the everyday life of our customers. Finally, I'd just like to provide a little information on our well-known and highly regarded CSR program on slide 22. Of particular note is the ongoing progress we have made in the renovation of the two major children's hospitals here in Athens. This was a program that was started back in 2014. We've now successfully completed 64% of the renovation, and we expect to complete the full renovation of both hospitals in the next couple of years. We were additionally honored to be joined last week by the President of the Hellenic Republic for the inauguration of the latest renovated floor. As a result of all of our various activities, we are now recognized as the number one company in Greece in terms of CSR acknowledgement and have achieved the highest level of CSR awareness since 2014. With that, I'm concluding my opening statement, and Michael and I are now ready to answer any questions you may have. Thank you for your patience and your attention.
The first question is from the line of Kourtesis Iakovos with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Following the launch of the new jackpot feature in VLTs as of April, would you say that could you provide us with a trading update in terms of net drop per VLT per day? Could you see it at higher levels in second quarter compared to the trend noticed in first quarter? Second question has to do with the decision of the Council of State. As far as I understand, it seems like a typical issue. However, you decided to temporarily freeze the installment of the remaining machines. Is there any time frame, specific time frame, in which you would expect this issue to be resolved? Suppose it should be in summer or before the elections or something like this. And that will be.
Okay, thank you. Just on the jackpot, we said we'd give ourselves sort of 2 or 3 months to properly measure the performance and the impact of jackpots. So we'll certainly have an update for that on that for you in September. It's fair to say, as I mentioned earlier, it's a very interesting talking point for agents and customers alike, and definitely adds something extra to the enjoyment of our players. So like I say, give us a couple more months of trading, and we'll let you know in September. On the Council of State, you're absolutely right. It is, as you describe it, a typical issue. The time frame is clearly not in our hands. But as I mentioned before, it's in everybody's interest to get this resolved relatively quickly. So there's probably not much more I can say.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Vrasgotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. Three questions to ask, if I may, please. First two relate to the operations, and the third one has to do with a follow-up on regulation. Just on your core betting game, Stoixima. So the conclusion basically is that this switched to positive growth mainly because of the actions that you took, i.e. SSBTs and digital. And my question basically has to do with digital. So have you actually seen a significant pickup in the trading performance of your online sports book relative to the to the start back in October, and or should we interpret the reversal of the negative trend of Stoixima as simply because the game has reached the trough? So that's the first question. And second question about operations relates to VLTs. Just wondering, in the same quarter last year, you had about 10,000 machines fully operational since the day one of 2018, which had generated daily net drop of 46 in Q1 18. Could you tell us what the performance of those machines was in terms of GGR per day in the first quarter of 2019, please? So these are the operational questions. I think I'd better let you respond before I move on to the last question.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll take the first one, and Mickey, I will see if he can give you an answer on the second one. On betting, I think we've sort of touched on it before, and it's been pretty obvious in our numbers that we have, you know, had a steady negative trend in sports betting in our shops for a period of time. And a number of reasons for that, not least the fact that the online market has also seen significant growth overall. So as a product, I think it's fair to say, and this is not unique to Greece, sports betting is still incredibly attractive in many, many, many markets. And overall, sports betting we see growing as a product, irrespective of channels. What is particularly pleasing is, if you think about the investments we've made over the last few years, it's not just about SSBTs. We've invested a lot of time in improving the quality of our shops. So if you just think of a typical customer who is now watching a game on a bigger, better screen in a better shop using modern technology like SSBTs, naturally we would hope to see some kind of response, and so far we've seen it. I would also say there's a lot of hard work that's gone on from our sports and trading team doing a lot of small things, if you like, below the radar in terms of improving our communications and coupons and messaging in the shop. So it's a combination of factors. You can't just point to SSBTs, but I just wanted to highlight, because it was a specific topic from the last call. And again, so far in Q2, we're similarly pleased with progress. Just touching on what you mentioned online, I gave you a couple of statistics on online's contribution within both turnover and GGR. Clearly, the GGR contribution is lower than turnover because the margin online, like all online businesses, is lower than our retail business. But we see our online sports business growing steadily. We're pleased so far. We want to do more. We will do more. And it's part of the overall sports betting message. So we'll look again when we get to September, and hopefully we'll have the chance to include discussion of the Stoiximan transaction if it gets concluded by then. But overall, I think it was just worth everybody recognizing that sports betting is very much back within a bar.
Okay, so just a follow-up on that. So from what you are saying, my understanding is that you actually think that this reversal and this positive trend is, in a sense, sustainable because the estate is constantly improving. Digital should ramp up in the coming even more in the coming quarters. Macro hopefully will do its part. Hopefully. So is this a fair assumption to make?
I think yes. There are a number of positives in there. Again, we touched before on previous calls about how we want to change the way that we broadcast content into our shops as well. So we believe there's a number of factors that will ensure that we maintain sports betting as a significant part of our business overall.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So and on VLTs?
Yeah, so the VLTs, basically, I think it's worth to, let's say, start looking into the VLTs as a little bit more mature business, you know, so we are in the third year of the operations. You can see that we are over 20,000 machines rolled out, which is, let's say, 80% of the estate, of the target estate, you know. So it's pretty matured footprint, let's say. So from that point of view, what I think we are rather happy about is that there is, let's say, again, the record quarter, Q1, that was even higher than Q4 last year. We found some serious increase of the machines, let's say, on the quarter. So I think this is quite important. And yes, the machines that are operating more than 12 months, they are performing better. They are performing closer to 50 euros than to 40 euros. This was the average, 41 euros. But what is for us more crucial is that the overall, as we mentioned in the speech, the overall profitability of the venues and performance of all the venues, being it old one and new ones, is steadily and gradually improving. You know, so this is our aim, that the operators should have profitable business, and the whole business is, should be profitable for all the counterparts. No, so this is for us quite crucial, and we see a very good track and very good, let's say, performance and ramp up of the business. You know, so it's given that the typical maturity for the gaming goal is 12 months plus, but I think we see very good, reasonably good trends on that.
Okay, thank you. And on regulation, just following up on this decision by the Greek State Council. So I was just wondering, how can the issue be resolved? Is it just a case of the Gambling Commission simply submitting to the president the relevant regulation for approval? And if this is the case, has there been any development or action, to the best of your knowledge, by the Hellenic Gambling Commission to deal with the matter since the decision was made public in April?
They're clearly well aware of the situation. They are already taking steps. I can't predict what legal route they will take. That is down to them. But there's certainly a lot of efforts going on to try and resolve this situation, because they're well aware, as I mentioned before, that it's in everybody's interest to resolve it.
Okay. If I may follow up a bit on this issue again, so there was, I think you mentioned it also, that there was this draft online gambling law which was submitted recently to the European Commission, which, as far as I understand, includes an amendment which basically says that in order for a change in the law to come into effect, the approval by the finance minister will suffice, so there will be no need anymore for ratification by the president. So the question here is that if this new if this draft law were to be approved by the European Commission, would it actually apply for all the regulation, including the relevant provisions for VLTs, or would we still need the formal ratification by the president for the old pieces of legislation, including VLTs?
No, I mean, online is completely different. It's a completely different situation. I would just add, on the Council of State decision, it's already been published, actually, that the HGC has already formed a task force back in April to start work on resolving this issue. So we're confident that it will get resolved, but it's completely separate to the online draft legislation, which has got a whole separate set of considerations and related factors.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you so much.
The next question is from the line of Peace Victoria with Edison. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a few questions. I'm just following up on that online regulation question. If you had any latest thoughts on that. And I was wondering if you could give some idea of the IFRS 16, sort of the breakdown in your financials. And I could see the rentals were down, but you know, the depreciation levels, that'd be helpful. And if you had any thoughts on the scrip take-up. And just finally, your gross win margins on your sports book. I know you said in the last call that they've been quite strong in February, and I'm just wondering how the quarter panned out and what they're looking like now. Thanks.
Hi, Victoria. Okay. Starting with online legislation, I'm not sure there's much more to say, really. I mean, the process is underway. It's not in our hands. Clearly, we still hope for a resolution of the current situation. I don't think the new election, which is going to be taking place on the 7th of July, will necessarily help that table, but you never know. So we would like a resolution sort of sooner rather than later if we can, but it's out of our hands. And I will jump to your fourth point, which was gross win margin, and then I'll let Mikhail handle points two and three. We saw a good performance in Q1, but I would say our gross win margin was slightly lower, but that was simply because we're seeing a much higher proportion of live betting, which is naturally lower margin. But overall, I must say, having seen the results of some of the other European operators sort of over the last month or so, we don't seem to have been as badly affected as some of they have by the sporting results that they were referring to. I know some was to do with, you know, UK and Irish racing, but as a general observation, we felt like we had a better period.
Mm-hmm. And then on the IFRS, and also as we are stating in the press release, there was 2.1 million, let's say, positive impact on EBITDA, but let's say on the, there was increased depreciation and amortization, so on the net income it's almost zero impact, it's around 300K. Let's say positive on the net income, yeah, but it's irrelevant, basically. But on the EBITDA line, it was around 2 million. Yeah.
And the script take-up?
The script take-up. So what can we say on that? I mean, it's up to the shareholders, in the shareholders' hand. We will see on the 12th of July, I think, you know, so we cannot predict what these shareholders will do.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from the line of Chahan Virendra with Alpha Value. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Virendra Chahan from Alpha Value. And I have one question on the EBITDA margin, followed by a couple of questions on the VLT. So firstly, on the EBITDA margin front, so apart from IT savings that you have done, as well as the 10 million or 11 million impact from the litigation impact, do we have anything else driving? Because just based on my rough calculation, it does seem that there's been a higher drip down of your GGR to the EBITDA level. So, I mean, any further color on that? That would be question one.
I'm not sure we 100% understand the question here, but let's say you are saying if there is, let's say if there is, it's not just the, let's say.
What I'm saying is that the incremental revenue, it does seem to have a much higher margin profile than what OPAP has historically reported. So anything which you know did impact that.
No, that's. Let's say that's not exactly correct, let's say. So if you look into the, I think the typically speaking, you know, if you look into the growth of the GGR and the growth of the, let's say, NGR, you know, you would not see big differences there, you know. So the growth of the GGR was 5% and the growth of the NGR was 5.4%. And let's say the gross profit from gaming operation is 5.5% growth, you know. So there is not big deviation in that, you know. So what basically is real deviation is the OPEX containment, including this one-off item, you know, so this will not repeat. But let's say on the OPEX line, I think we are in the good on the good trends, as I mentioned in the speech. Let's say on the IT, we let's say expect this to continue, you know, and on this 15% year-on-year, let's say improvement on the IT cost. On the marketing cost, we believe, you know, first quarter was a bit higher than last year, but you know, as the full year, we expect it will be roughly the same as last year, you know, so it would be improving a bit, you know. And then on the other cost, let's say we would see some probably better cost, let's say some cost savings again throughout the year. But that's it, you know. So we have revenue growth, and we have, let's say, on the gross margin, I don't think there is big difference. There is slight improvement.
Yeah.
Then on the OPEX, we have basically decent improvement, and that's why EBITDA margin is basically growing quite faster than the revenues.
Okay, perfect. So thank you. And I have a question on the VLT side. So the VLT additions do seem to have slowed down compared to the past, and I am aware that the ruling did come out on April. But then if I just look at Q1 numbers, were you anticipating that ruling, and did it slow down? Because what I see is, like, based compared to your historical pace, the addition of VLT in this quarter was relatively lesser. So anything driving that? In other words, are you finding it much more difficult to, you know, get the new locations, like attractive new locations? Is this a sign of that?
Yes.
Look, it's a good question. I'm not sure if you were on our previous call, because it came up then, and we talked about it, and effectively saying, as we get further through the rollout, clearly we want to really optimize the location of our final machines. And for in a lot of cities and a lot of towns, we already have a significant allocation of machines. So we're just sort of, if you like, making sure that we're making the right decisions. When you start with no machines, it's easier to start rolling them out, but it was a sort of a natural thing. We certainly weren't anticipating the decision of the Council of State, if that's what you mentioned in your question. As I mentioned before, reiterate, we haven't stopped all of the planning and all of the preparations. So as soon as we are free to continue, we'll be off again with the remaining 4,900 machines.
And there is one more, let's say, impact, and this is typically speaking, the rollout is a bit seasonal. So because Q4 December is the strongest month of the year, we are typically trying, you know, to accelerate in the Q4 anything that is in the pipeline, and then the Q1 is a little bit slower. So you can see this the same pattern, let's say, even last year. You know, so in 2017, at the end of last quarter, we deployed 5,000 machines, and then in Q1, we deployed only 1,500. So it was pretty similar. So combined with what Damien said, it's this pattern. You know, we try to accelerate to open in the prime season, and then we are a little bit, January is a little bit calm month typically for the rollouts.
Okay, perfect. And just one last final question on VLTs. So the combination of, you know, finding it difficult to find more attractive locations, as well as the new ruling which has come on in April, does that mean we are still, for ending the year with 25,000 machines, or should we look at it in some other way?
I don't think I said we were finding it difficult. I just said we wanted to make sure that we were optimizing the relevant location. And again, as I said before, our intention is to complete the rollout by the end of the year. And as soon as we get the clarification that we want, then we'll be off again. So that's very much our intention still.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. That'll be all from my end.
The next question is from the line of Matsavras Paris with Padelaki Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi from my side. Just two questions for me. The first one has to do with additional games migrating online after Joker, Virtuals and Kino. Do you have an update on the timeline there? And the second refers to the scrip dividend, whether the majority shareholders intends to take up the scrip option, whether you have any indication of from their side. Thank you.
So I'll take the first, and then Mikhail can have the second. We certainly hope to add additional games online. To be honest, we've had a busy period launching Joker. We still think there's a long way to go on Joker, but we hope to add more games either later this year or early 2020. And assuming the new online law came in, that we would more than likely participate with any additional games that were made available under that license as well.
Thank you.
And then on the scrip, let's say, of course, you know, we need to have some support of the majority shareholder for the whole program. And that was one of the prerequisites as well when we, negotiated, passed this through, the approval of the Capital Market Commission, you know, stuff like that. So I think most probably they will participate at least with a portion of their shares on the scrip program. But we cannot predict how much they will participate, but they are supportive for the program.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Cope for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, everybody, today, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.